We're teaching again on lining up with God's Word to receive healing. And I took really the basic outline of this teaching from a teaching that Doug Jones did on from a book that he had. There's things I add to it and things that I teach. But really laying foundational, he really did a good job of laying foundational things that you have to believe to receive healing. We're looking at the basic foundation. We're still laying on the basic foundation of this teaching, and it really deals with the area you, first of all, you know, if you don't know that it's the will of God for you to be healed, really, it doesn't matter else what you believe about it. It's not gonna work. Many people have a lot of right things that they believe, but the foundation, many are not sure whether it's God's will. I would say that's probably as most people. They don't know that it's God's will. And so they never can come to faith. And one of the things that I said, you know, in this teaching a number of times, faith is only where the will of God's known. If you don't know what the will of God is, you cannot be in faith. I always liked that at Rhema. There was that their saying was used by a lot of our instructors and things at Rhema. They would say that, you know, constantly drill that into you. If you don't know what the will of God is, you can't be in faith. You can't trust what you don't know. No matter how good God is, if you don't know, He's going to do that for whatever it is good you need done to you. You couldn't trust Him to do it because you wouldn't know if He would. And a lot of Christians, you know, live and die talking about faith, but really don't have an idea what faith is. They don't know what it is. They're talking about, well, we're trusting God. And what they really mean is we're just sort of hoping God will do something. And when I use the term hope, I'm not using Bible hope. The Bible hope is a confident expectation that something good's going to happen. Most people don't have a confident expectation that something is good. They don't know if God wants them sick or wants them well. He doesn't know if God wants them poor or He wants them to have money. They don't know what God wants them to have. And so these are the things that we've been looking and laying out in foundation in these teachings. We were talking about one of the things that we could look and see that from the scripture, we found out that Paul said that Jesus Christ was our Passover lamb. And so we looked from the scriptural standpoint of Him being the Passover lamb. We went back to the book of Exodus and we saw that Jesus is one thing is to understand the Passover lamb. There were certain benefits that the Jews had because obeying what God told them to do concerning the Passover lamb. And if Jesus is our Passover lamb, and we talked about having a better covenant, if we do have a better covenant based on better promises, then we would at least have the promises that are in the types and the shadows that are in the old covenant. So we found that in those things, in the Passover lamb, that the lamb was given, which they ate, the lamb was given really for health in their body, because we found out the Bible said that when they left Egypt, there wasn't any feeble among them. And also the judgment of God passed over them because of the blood of the lamb. So the judgment of God. And so we see that. That corresponds with the New Testament. The New Testament, all humans are under the judgment of God unless they accept Jesus Christ. God sent Jesus so man doesn't have to face the judgment of God. The New Testament tells us that man's going to receive the wrath of God. And so God sent Jesus so men don't have to receive the wrath of God. So the judgment passed over them. And so Jesus' body was given for our health and our soundness. And His blood was given for our salvation, the removal of sin, and the removal of the judgment of God on us. Now, I want to look today some things that Jesus said as part of this foundation of getting ourselves in the fact that we're settled. It's God's will for us to be healed. And in John, the 14th chapter, I want to look at a scripture, something that Jesus said here in talking to His disciples. And under John 14, Jesus is speaking to disciples, and this is Jesus is getting ready to really depart them from the standpoint of being crucified. And this is on that last night that He was speaking to them. And I want to look at verse 10 in the 14th chapter, and it says, "Have I been with you? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me, He does the works. So here Jesus makes a statement, and this is really an important statement because Jesus, we need to understand this, most people in most teaching, the majority of the teaching, and here's where the failing comes in people to be able to come to faith, is most people believe Jesus was in the earth. He was walking around doing what he did because he was God. Well, that's totally untrue. Jesus didn't do anything in the earth being God. He was the Son of God, but he operated as a human, as a man. And he operated a man. Jesus would have no right, or we should never expect to do the works of Jesus if he did them because he was God. Why should we expect to be able to do the works? Because he did them because he was God. If he did as God, well, last I heard, I ain't God and none of you are either. I don't care if you're born again, you still ain't God. So if he did it as God, we need to understand Jesus operated as a prophet and God operated through him just like he operated through any other prophet. And did what he did. Jesus makes the statement. Who's doing the works through him? He said, he's not doing the works. He said, the words that I speak, I don't speak on my own authority. The things that happen and taken place are the words that I'm saying. I'm only saying what the Father said I'm supposed to say. And the Father is doing the works. Well, then therefore Jesus could not be doing the works because he was God. Or Jesus lied to the disciples here. And we have to settle that fact. If you always put Jesus in his ministry and you put him as the Son of God doing it, well, you're going to have problems dealing the area because you're always going to come down and look at yourself and say, well, I can't do this or I can't do that. Now, gee, but why? Well, Jesus did it because he was God, you know. I can't do this. Well, he didn't. So the words that Jesus said, he said, I don't speak. The words that I'm saying are not my words. In other words, the words that I say to people are not my words. They're the Father's words. So we can know this. You know, it's one thing is about, I don't know if the original people understood when they did red letter edition. It's important because you need to understand this. When you read the words that Jesus spoke, all the words that Jesus spoke are words that the Father said. So you can do it this. We can look at the will of God through the things that Jesus said. You can look at the things that Jesus said and you can know this is God's will because Jesus didn't say anything else. Now look at John the 12th chapter, back up to the 12th chapter. The 12th chapter and look at start at verse 47. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last days. For I have not spoken on my own authority. He said, but the words the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak. Jesus' words are direct words of the Father, are directly the words of Father God. That's why he could say, if you don't believe on me, the words that I say are going to judge you. In other words, whose words are they? They're the Father's words. They're the Father's words. So we can look at what things that Jesus said is number one, you will never find any place on Jesus' agenda where he ever spoke and told somebody that God's will was for them to be sick. Never one time. Never one time did somebody come to be healed and Jesus said, no, it's not the will of the Father for you to be healed. Never one time. That was the Father speaking. That was Father God speaking. Jesus said, I don't say any words. And we need to know how important this is. Because Jesus never one time ever prayed to ask if it was God's will to heal somebody. Never one time. He never one time ever told the disciples to ever pray if it was God's will to heal somebody. Never one time. We should never, ever pray to find out if it's God's will to heal. We should never, ever pray that because it's unscriptural. Jesus didn't do it. See, all these people are preaching and say, well, you know, we're supposed to do, you know, be like Jesus. Sorry, most of the church don't believe in being like Jesus. We don't ever ask if it's God's will to be healed. God told His will through Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, if you don't believe what I said, you're not believing the Father. You don't receive me. And we need to understand the importance of that. So when we see what Jesus said, that's one thing I really appreciated about John G. Lake. John G. Lake said on any subject where we know that Jesus spoke on, he said, Jesus is always the final authority. I don't care what Paul said. I don't care what John said. He said, Jesus Christ is the final authority. He said, we know this. If Jesus said it, then God spoke it. So we know that's God's plan. Now, I don't know of any place in Scripture that they contradicted him, but the whole thing is, John was saying, Jesus is always final authority. He said, no matter what man says, they believe. He said, I always take what Jesus said as final authority. That's what you should do. See, we can look. There's many things that you can tell by reading what Jesus said that we know many things are true whether he directly said certain things or not. He never specifically said, it's always the will of God to heal everybody. But if you read everything that he said, it's saying that. Because never did he ever reject to heal anyone. Never did he, you know, say to people, you know, that, you know, was it God's will or God had a purpose in them being sick. He never did that. That was man developed those things. Man has said those things. So you can know this. When you sit down and read the Bible and it tells you what Jesus said, this is directly the will of God. It's directly the will of God. This is God Himself talking. So we can always know that. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit never contradict each other. Never. They will never contradict each other. They're always the same. That's the wonderful thing of the assurance about the Word of God that we know. If God inspired these writers to write things, then we know this. The Holy Spirit wouldn't have told them something that God didn't say or God didn't do. So this is why we can know, considering the Word of God, it's not fallible. It can't be fallible. These are God's words spoken. If it is, therefore, you have the assurance when you believe God, He's going to do what He said because it's in the Word. It's infallible. This Word's infallible. These words that Jesus spoke are infallible words. They're total truth, 100% truth. They're not part truth. So get settled in that. Now, I want to look at over in the Gospel of Mark, the first chapter. We would back up to Mark, to the first chapter. Now, I want to read you here an incident where Jesus ministered to a leper. Now, in Mark, the first chapter, verse 40 says, now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Now, we need to understand is the statement this guy comes. This man comes to Jesus. He has leprosy, which even under the law, they were because of the contagiousness of the disease, they were separated from the people. They couldn't be around the regular people. They were kept away. This man came to Jesus. It said he kneeled down and he said this. In other words, this man knew for sure that Jesus could heal. But he didn't know if Jesus would heal him. In other words, he didn't know if it was the will of God. He didn't know that. He didn't know. He knew Jesus could. But he didn't know if it was his will to do it. So in other words, this man couldn't really be in the area of faith because he didn't know what the will of God was. He knew what God would do through Jesus, but he didn't know if he'd do it to him. So he couldn't be in faith. He had faith from this standpoint that he knew that Jesus could heal. Well, that's great. That's good to know that Jesus can heal, but if I don't know he'll heal me, it doesn't do me much good. You know, it'd be like going to a doctor and, you know, I know he has stuff to cure me, but I don't know if he'll give it to me. Well, so You have to find out then. In other words, to have confidence that he would do it for you, you'd have to have him say to you, yes, I'm going to give you this medication. I'll take care of you. Well, then you can have confidence that he would give you that medication. Well, he asked, this man comes and he says, I know you can do it, but will you? Well, then Jesus moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I'm willing, be cleansed. Now, remember what we read Jesus said? I don't say anything the Father don't say. The Father God said to this man, he said, I want to know if you're willing. He asked Jesus, I want to know if you're willing to heal me. And Jesus immediately said, yep, I'm willing, and touched him and healed him. Jesus touched him and healed him immediately. Jesus didn't go and have an intercessory prayer meeting to find out if it was God's will to heal this guy. Jesus knew immediately it was God's will to heal. Why? Because God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, went about doing good and healing all that oppressed the devil. The will of God was to heal the people. That was the will of God. Jesus didn't sit around to try to find out if it was God's will to do that. He knew it. Wherever Jesus went, he knew it was God's will to heal. Now we find out, he said, as soon as he had spoken immediately, the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. He said, and he strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses command as a testimony to them. Now this is an important part. You'll see this with Jesus. Remember when the lepers came to Jesus and to be healed, and he sent them on their way. He told them, he said to them, go present yourself to the priest. And he says, as they went, they were healed. The whole thing, you will find Jesus always followed the law of Moses. The law of Moses required that a leper could not be, if he was cleansed, could not enter back in to the public again until he went to the priest, offered the sacrifice. The priest had to inspect him to make sure that he was healed. They had to inspect him. That was the law of Moses. You say Jesus always followed the law. He didn't. He followed what the law said. Now, some people, like, he was accused of breaking the law. But the laws that they accused him of breaking of are ones that men added to the law of Moses. It wasn't the law of Moses. But he always told people to follow what the law said. He never told anybody to break the law. So he said to this leper, now, don't go say anything to anybody. You go present yourself. Why? For a testimony to the priests. In other words, bearing witness to them. Follow what the law says. Well, this man didn't. He went around telling everybody what Jesus did. And it says this, however, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. In other words, the will of God was for Jesus to be able to minister in that city. And by that man not following, following what he was told to do, really, Jesus was unable to minister like he wanted to. You know, this is why people need to obey God. You know, it affects others. So we know this. This town didn't have the ministry happen in it that God had planned for this town because people don't listen. They go do what they... Instead of him going to the priest and following the orders of Jesus, he just went around, told everybody. He didn't follow the orders that Jesus, gave him. We don't know if he ever went to the priest then or did whatever he was supposed to do. But I'll tell you what, I'll guarantee it'll affect his life. You don't obey the word of God, you're in trouble. And he didn't. But he's following. So Jesus told him to do it. But Jesus let him know it was the will of God. Now understand, why would under Mosaic law would there be sacrifices for the cleansing of the leper if God didn't heal leprosy? Why would there ever been? See, Israel had healing. God told them if they obey, they'd be blessed. They wouldn't be sick. I mean, under the curse, leprosy came from curse. That's what it came from. Leprosy was one of the diseases mentioned in the curse. It's a curse. Well, God's plan was for Israel. If they followed the law, they wouldn't be under a curse. He told them that. So see, healing was always there. This was not something new. Jesus did not heal people because he had died and raised from the dead. He healed people under the basis of the old covenant. He was a prophet under the old covenant. He's healing people under the old covenant. He is ministering under the old covenant. We see, you know, if you look at the prophets, there's prophets of the old covenant where the people were healed under the old covenant. But Israel, lots of times the Jews didn't operate in their covenant. They were always outside their covenant, not walking in it. And so they weren't blessed. I will guarantee you the prophets, if people would have went to the prophets more often, lots more people would have been healed in the old covenant. But they didn't. They just did their own thing. But God provided for them to offering the sacrifices for cleansing. But people, it seems they didn't do it. So, you know, it's what Kenneth Hagin talks about, used to talk about with the new covenant. He'd say, people believe in the power of God and in the gifts of the Spirit and all this. They believe it on paper, but they don't believe it in doing it. See, a lot of people say, oh, yeah, we're supposed to have that. But that's all they say, we're supposed to. But they don't really expect it. If you started operating in it, they'd get upset. I mean, there's churches in our community, you know, and they talk about being Spirit-filled churches. And I know this for a fact. I know ministers. I had a minister tell me that that they went there to minister, and they told they weren't allowed to operate in the gifts of Spirit and worship, and they call themselves a Spirit-filled church. Yes, and I know what Spirit it is, and it ain't the one I got. You know, and you know, well, they get crowds, but they don't believe in it. They tell all this stuff, but they don't believe in it. They don't want manifestations of the Spirit. You know, we don't want certain things there. You know, but God's will is always to heal people. It's always to heal people. That's His plan. So this man, God told him through Jesus Christ, it's the Father speaking. He said, I'm willing. He said, are you willing to heal me? Yep, I'm willing. Well, would he tell that guy? Bible says God's not a respecter of persons. Well, if it was God's will to heal him and not somebody else, then God is a respecter of persons. And again, we got God in a lie. God can't lie. And he's not a respecter of persons. He hasn't come along and said, yeah, this guy deserves it, but the other lepers, they don't. You know, often amazes me is the lepers and all that stuff. Now, we know this. There was a lot more people healed because John said if all the account of what Jesus did would have been written, he said that he don't believe the earth could have have the books of all the things he did. And Jesus, in 3.5 years of ministry, did a phenomenal, I will guarantee, phenomenal amount of healings and miracles. Phenomenal. We have a minute part of them written in pages. If John said he didn't think the world could hold the books of all the things that he did, what all did he do? I'm sure we have more than account of one leper healed here, you know, and a few lepers there, and that. I'll guarantee you, there was loads and loads of lepers healed. There was loads and loads of people healed and delivered. You know, the Bible talks about multitudes following him and turn on, and he said he healed them all. You know, in a multitude, well, I'll guarantee you, they had loads and loads. There ain't no difference in the multitude. You get in the multitudes today, and the multitude people, the majority of the multitude sick. The majority of the multitude has something wrong with them. And it's just the same way today. If he healed them all, man, that's a lot of miracles. That's a lot of things going on out there. And we know just, we only have a few accounts that were written of those events. I will guarantee you there's many, many of those events. If they could have written books, and he said, I don't think the earth could have handled that. So for his day, is my words, all that would have taken to write down everything that Jesus did. So we have a very small part of it, but one thing of the part that we have is given to us, we can see clearly, God was a healer and he loves to heal everybody. That's what he wants to do. So, we need to be convinced wholly about that fact of his willingness to heal. Now we want to look, we're going to go over this morning and look at the commission that the people that Jesus commissioned. This still is dealing with the first foundational step of the areas. This is convincing people, and two, if you know for sure it's God's will to heal, that's fine. Most people that you're around do not believe that. Most people do not, even most Spirit-filled Christians, do not believe it's God's will to heal. Most spirit-filled Christians believe God can heal, He does heal, but they are not certainly sure that He wants to heal them. They're not certain of that. And you need to be able to convince people of that. You need, and scripturally, not by just sitting around and saying, well, I know because God did such and such for me. They need to know what the will of God says. To have faith in God, they need to know what God said and did. And so we have again here in the foundation, Jesus Christ commissioned three groups of people that we have from a scriptural standpoint. And these three groups that were commissioned to work on His behalf, these three groups of people. There was, first of all, the first commission, we'll look at the three commissions, but the first one was the 12 disciples when He sent them out. He also sent out 70, and then before He left, He commissioned the church. And we want to see concerning those commissions, we want to look at healing, because we need to understand and know what God's plan was. So He instructed them. We know this. He instructed them before they went out, telling them what to do and what not to do. He told them what to do and what not to do. So he gave commission to all three groups. Each group was commissioned to heal the sick. All three groups were commissioned to heal the sick. That was their commission. At least, you know, part of their commission. They had other things. So if it was God's will to heal all, Jesus' instructions it wasn't to heal all. Jesus then, as we look at these, then we would find that Jesus would have given certain restrictions about healing. So we need to see this. Jesus commissioned people to do something, and they weren't supposed to do it to everybody, well, then He'd have had to tell them that, wouldn't He? Or, how would they have known what to do? He would have had to tell them. So, we're going to look at that. So, there are no, as we look at these, there is no restrictions attached to the commission to heal the sick. There is no restrictions in all three groups. He never restricted. So, Jesus did not require any of those groups to pray, to find out if God wanted to heal somebody. He never asked them to do that, never said a thing about it. So, the reason He didn't, because it's always God's will to heal. That's why He didn't do any of that. Now, we want to look first, we want to go over to Matthew. Go back to Matthew, the 10th chapter. We want to look at Matthew 10. Matthew 10. This is some real just systematic teaching that Jesus did. Jesus said. Now we have here in chapter 10, verse 1 says, and when He called His 12 disciples to Him, He gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Now, He gave them authority over unclean spirits. Did He give authority over some unclean spirits? No, He says He gave them power over unclean spirits. What to cast them out? Now look what He specifically says to healing. To heal all kinds of diseases. All kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases. How many different kinds? All kinds. All. So there was no restriction on the type of disease they were allowed to heal. No restrictions whatsoever. Now Jesus, if you jump down to verse 5, it says, now these 12, He said, Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, you know, do not go in the way of the Gentiles and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He said, and as you go, He said, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick. Cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Is there any restrictions in that? Any restrictions? Anything that's, if somebody comes to you and they have a boil, and don't heal that guy. Or there's no restrictions. There is absolutely no restriction. The only restriction given is because Jesus' ministry was to the Jew at that time. So He told the disciples, you stay in the area of preaching to the Jews, because that's who I'm going to reach. But he gave them no restrictions onto the people under the covenant. Now look at this. He's talking to covenant people. Understand, the Gentiles and the Samaritans are not under a covenant with God. You need to know this, and you need to know this. See, you're a Christian. Too many Christians identify themselves with the world, and we're just part of everybody else. Well, I ain't. I'm in a separate group. I'm in a separate group of people. I'm under a covenant with God. Here we have, this is sending them under God's covenant people. He said there is no restrictions on who you can heal and what you can heal. No restrictions whatsoever. Go do it all. Get out there and do it. He said he commanded them to go do it. So I guess they went to towns. Now look, there is a restriction concerning the people on themselves of whether they believe or not. See, God sent Jesus of Nazareth to go out and preach and to heal. He anointed him for that, to heal all that were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. But he went to his hometown and he said he couldn't do no mighty work there. Why? Because of their unbelief. See, they didn't believe it. So if anybody wasn't healed, it was never Jesus' fault nor the Father's. Never. If people didn't get healed when the disciples went out, it was their fault. It's because they didn't believe the message. They didn't believe what was preached. He told them, you go preach. You go out here and preach them. You tell them the kingdom of God's near. If they don't want to believe that, then it ain't going to work for them. But it isn't their fault. They were sent to heal everybody. And we know this. This is where people have a lot of problems today because they say, well, so-and-so didn't get healed. Well, that's his problem. That's between him and God. That ain't between somebody. I know this for a fact. It's God's will to heal him, but if he didn't get healed, why? There's something wrong there. But it's not from God's side. It's God's will to heal. And this is where people have to get over it. We hate to admit there'd be something wrong with us or somebody or a good friend or mama or daddy or grandma or grandpa. You know, well, they love the Lord. Yeah, but if they ain't, they might love him as far as they know. But if they don't trust what he says and they have been preached to that he don't always heal, well, then they're going to believe that. And they ain't going to, you know, if they get healed, it'll be lucky. It'll have nothing to do with faith. It'll be all luck. It'll be 100% mercy. And that's it. And we have to understand that. I was glad listening to Kenneth Hagin's teaching. And I understood the fact that if God's word don't work, it's Ed's fault. It's Ed's fault. It ain't God's fault. It's never God's fault. It's Ed's fault. God's not holding back. It's Ed's fault. So in other words, I knew how to seek God. If I would seek God, I would begin to ask God what I need to change or what I need to do. Where I'm missing it. This is where most people have all their problems. Because if they don't get it, they start praying and asking God why he won't do it for them. Like it's on his side. And they say, well, he don't talk to me about it. Well, I wouldn't talk to you about it either if you blame me for your problems. I ain't talking to you either. So forget it. Well, that's why they respond to God in the wrong way. They treat God like he's the problem. He's never the problem. Loads of people. I mean, I'll tell you, so many more people would be healed if they would just believe it was God's will to heal. That's their problem. They're trying to jump through, maybe if I do this good thing, and they're always, well, maybe God told me to start eating, you know, just nothing but chicken, and so I'll just, you know, and then I'll eat this. Don't eat any more beef, and then I'll be well. And if I did, they start going through all these things, natural things. That doesn't mean God might speak to somebody sometime and tell them there's certain things they could be eating, could be hurting them. You know, there's people, you know, you could eat too much junk stuff. You know, the Bible says too much honey and you'll throw up. You know, it's like, you know, you keep throwing up because you're eating honey and you keep too much of it. A little good sense would wake you up maybe and say, don't do it. And so God could tell you to do a certain thing, because you may be hurting yourself somewhere in something that you're doing. But it's not because it's not God's will for you to be well. God wants you well. He'll always lead you to wellness and wholeness. He'll always lead you in that direction. So you always want to follow that. So he sent these people out, the 12. When he sent them out completely with the idea that they were supposed to go. There's not supposed to be any restriction on the covenant people to be healed. And it's the same way today. This is why with ministering out here, like say if you go to a crowd of people, when you're say like a sinner's, and you're out here holding an evangelistic meeting. You very, not often in evangelistic meetings where you see, even with manifestations of the Spirit, where everybody gets healed. Is one of the things you're dealing with is they're not covenant people. So God in His mercy will heal people. Sometimes we say, why or why not? Sometimes you don't know. Sometimes maybe it's, I know this for a fact. Sometimes there have been people praying for certain people and they go to a meeting and they get healed. There's other people saying nobody prayed or believed a thing for them. Nobody's doing nothing for them. And it does surely help if you have believers praying for you. If you're a sinner and you have believers praying for you. But there's manifestations that take place by the Spirit wills. No sinner can know this, that it's God's will to heal them outside the covenant. We don't have any guarantee of that. But in the covenant, it's always God's will. I could tell them, it is God's will for you to be well. What? But Jesus said you have to believe on Him and His words. So you've got to come to Christ to know what the will of God is, to you know, take a hold of the will of God that's for you. So understand that. That's why we want to tell people, many people come and they want Jesus to fix their marriages. You need to get in the covenant. Just get in the covenant. You're sitting on the outside and you just want things fixed. Get in the covenant. When you're in the covenant, then all the covenant rights belong to you. The covenant rights are for you. Now let's turn over to Luke. Let's go to Luke and look what Luke wrote here in the Luke 10. Luke 10. Now Luke 10 says, starting in verse 1, after these things the Lord appointed 70 others also, and sent them two by two before His face into every city and place where He Himself was about to go. Then He said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest, send out laborers into the harvest. Go your way, behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the road. But whatever house you enter, first say, peace to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. And remain in the same, he said, same house, eating and drinking such things as they give. For the labor is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick there, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come to you, near to you. Do you notice what he said? You go to a place, they don't receive you. In other words, they aren't operating in faith. God don't heal outside of faith. You see that? He said, what, the places that receive you? What do you do there? Heal the sick. Heal the sick. See, there's no such thing as people believe on Jesus and He don't want them well. Heal the sick there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. What do you do there? You heal the sick. He didn't say heal some of the sick. Heal certain disease. Here He told them, heal the sick. So you go in that city, they accept you. It's just like Jesus. When Jesus went to Nazareth, they didn't accept Him. He couldn't do the stuff He wanted to do. But the cities who received Him, He could do stuff. And what did He do? He always healed, didn't He? He always healed people. Why? Because it was the will of God. Anybody who will receive you, and you need to understand that. People who don't receive you, you're going to have a hard time trying to get anything for them. One of the worst things that Christians do is they just keep trying to reach people who don't want to be reached. You know, if somebody don't want it, go find somebody that wants it. If somebody don't want it, Jesus told them, you go someplace and they don't want it, go find someplace that wants it. Shake the dust off your feet and go someplace else. You know, it's like, but people don't, it amazes me, is people, and they get, oh, they just won't listen to it. I don't know. Now look, Jesus sent them to go out to all these places that He was going to go to. And He said, you go out there, and He said, if they don't receive you, just go on. Go on the next place. Go to the next spot. Go down the next town. You find people there, receive you, then heal their sick there. You know. The guys that won't receive you, let it alone. You have to learn to do that. Jesus told them, you know, you just gotta go on to the next one. You minister. I learned this a long time ago. You minister who you can minister to. You don't waste your time on ministry who you can't minister to. There's loads of people out here that never get ministered to, never get blessed, because Christians spend all their time ministering to people who don't want it and keep hanging with them and hanging with them and hanging with them. You don't do that. If people don't want it, go to somebody else. If they don't want it, go to find somebody that wants something good. If people reject it, say, "Well, I don't want anything to do with that." Okay, fine. Go to somebody. Find somebody who does. Why worry yourself and why get yourself all upset and say, "Oh, well, they just make fun of me and talk." Well, go on to somebody that wants it. Find that. This is what Jesus told them to do. Be a very smart thing to do. Jesus did not hang around places that didn't want. He, you know what he said he did? He went to Nazareth and they reject him. And you know what he did? He said he went on a circuit to towns around them. He went to other towns. He didn't stay in his hometown. Well, I got to convince them this is my hometown. This is where I live. Uncle Harry's here. And I just got to get Uncle Harry. Most people do that out of ego more than they do out of love of getting people helped. They want to be accepted. I want these people to know that I'm right. I got to get accepted by them. You know, they think I'm crazy. Well, go to some place where they don't think you're crazy. Let them alone. Go someplace. Go talk to, you know, some other cousin who's willing to hear. So do that. You know, give people an opportunity, but if they don't want it, go on. He told them, like, staying in a home. He said, you know, ask your peace to come on that home, but if it's a person of peace, he said, it'll return to you. In other words, you go into somebody's place, you could bless a place, but a person won't receive you. You can't bless it. It's not going to happen. You're wasting your time. So understand that. But they were told, when you go, when you're received, heal the sick. Jesus always did that. Why? Because God was in the business of healing people. That's what he did. He always wanted people well, and he was looking for people who would receive his son. When they would receive his son, he was totally 100% willing to heal them. He wanted to heal. That's God's plan. Because it's God's willing that none should perish. It's God's will that everybody accept Jesus. That's his will. There is nobody in hell because God put them there. They are in hell because they put them there. They have decided they didn't want Jesus. They didn't want that, so they didn't want it, so they end up there. God's not sending people to hell. Man sends people to hell. That's where man chooses to go. You know, it's like me. You know, I can go out here and I can choose to where I want to go on vacation. I could decide where I wanted to go. If I went and had a bad vacation, I didn't have nobody to blame me. I picked the spot. You know, right? I mean, I picked it, so, well, okay, it didn't turn out. I know not to go to that one again. But see, we need to understand that. Everybody's putting everything on God. God this, God that. And it's not God. God's laid out his will, what he wants. He wants us saved. He wants us to have a sound mind. He's given us the mind of Christ. Well, I just can't remember. My mind's not good. I just have a problem with my mind. Well, that couldn't be the will of God. He gave us the mind of Christ, and my Jesus ain't a flake. Ain't nothing wrong with his brain. He thinks real good. So I know this. It's God's plan for me to be able, if I'm supposed to be able to think like Jesus, then I could think like God. Think about that. You can think the thoughts of God. Jesus never says anything the Father don't say. So he ain't thinking other thoughts than what the Father thinks. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. Well, that's good news. So I know this. If I'm dealing with a problem with my mind, I know this. It's not the will of God. So I know this. God wants to help me overcome this. God wants me to get on the top of this thing. And so I always know it's God's will for me to have a sound mind. Hallelujah. It's never God's will for me to ever be dominated by any demonic power. It's never the will of God to do that. Hallelujah. So we need to understand, we get a hold of those facts, the fact, okay, maybe I'm ignorant in an area. Maybe there's things I don't know that I need to learn so I can walk in faith with God. But always, always keep yourself on the side where Kenneth Hagin, and I always liked his book, he had out, Don't Blame God. In other words, in that book he teaches you, if you don't know something, well then ask God, find out about what you don't know. Approach God, the fact, if it isn't working, God, where am I missing it? not God. Why won't you do this? What's wrong? You know, like, what's wrong with you, God? Why is God, if I've had, you know, $20 every time somebody came to me and said, I don't understand why God won't heal me. And they said, I'd say, well, you just told me. You said he won't. That's your faith talking. You run around confessing he won't. What do you think's going to happen? Duh. I don't understand. See, I understand it clearly. I've been listening to your mouth, buddy. If I'm believing, I'm receiving, and it's not, it doesn't work, well, then I need, Lord, where have I missed it? I learned from Kenneth Hagin when he was when he tells a story about being a young boy, where when he got off the deathbed, he teaches about really where his faith was and how he believed. And he thought he was in the area of faith, but he really wasn't. And the Lord showed him where he had missed it, that he had never believed he received his healing. And the Lord told him, he said, as far as you know, you're believing. There's certain things that he knew that was true and right, and he was believing right about them. But he wasn't believing right about believing he received his healing. And the Lord told him and took him to Mark 11:24 and told him and showed him in that scripture that it says you have to believe you received it, and told him, you've never believed you received it. You never believed you received his healing. And he saw it. He said he saw that he never believed he received it. He was waiting for God to do it. He never believed he received it. Well, once he believed he received it, then he ended up getting healed. It worked. And that's lots of times with people. They're sitting there saying, well, God, what's wrong? What's wrong with you? Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? Like, well, I'm over here. I'm Mr. or Mrs. Perfect. And if any mistakes have been made, surely it must have been God. It couldn't have been me. And get yourself over. Just God. And I found this out. God will answer you quickly if you just go to him honestly. Say, God, you know, I must be missing it here somewhere. You show me. Show me what, where I'm missing it at. Show me what I need to do. And he will. He'll show you what to do. We may need teaching in an area or something. I found sometimes there was things that I needed to know. And along the line, in a short period of time, God had somebody I heard teaching and taught on a certain subject. And in teaching that, heard things that I needed to hear to know to be able to get in line with what he wanted to do. And I saw it. Wow, well, man, I can see now why that didn't work for me. I didn't know that. And so get yourself over, you know, to learn. Never get over in the area where you're questioning God, wondering what God was doing, wondering what if it was God's will or what God was saying about the subject. Now, I want to look at the commissioning. Let's look at the commissioning of the church. Now, here we are. It's a commissioning of the church. Go to Mark. In Mark, we have the other Gospels have it in, but Mark does the best explanation of the entire thing. In Mark 16, does the best of the entire explanation on the commission of the church. So in Mark the 16th chapter, and starting at verse 15, now listen what he said to them. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Here's the commission of the church. Now, he didn't say, just go to the cities, stay over here with the Jews, did he? This is a commission of the church. The church's commission is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature or every person. Go out and preach to everybody. He says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. In other words, there is faith required, isn't there? Faith required. So in other words, why we preach the gospel? We preach to people, tell people. We tell people God wants to heal them. We tell people God wants to deliver them from sin. God wants to, you know, we tell people these things. Why? So they can believe. If people believe the message, he tells them this. He goes on, the guy who doesn't believe, he's condemned. Why is he believed? Because God doesn't want to save him, deliver him, or heal him? No, he's condemned because he did not believe. Now he says, and these signs will follow those who believe. He said, in my name, what will they do? Cast out demons. Didn't he tell the disciples before to go cast out demons? We're supposed to go preach the gospels. These signs, he said, and these signs will follow those who believe. Did he say these signs are going to follow the 12 disciples? He said, no, those who believe. So in other words, the people that believe, these signs will follow them, won't they? The people that believe this, these signs will follow them. So in other words, the ones that heard the gospel and believed it, the signs will follow them. So the signs following, signs that they will, in my name, they will cast out demons. And this also says they'll speak with new tongues. Now it says they will speak with new tongues. It does not say some speak with tongues and some don't. Some people get baptized in the Holy Ghost, some don't. That is not in the commission. The people who believe, they will cast out devils and they will speak with new tongues. If people don't talk in tongues, it's because of unbelief. They don't believe the gospel. Now, if it isn't preached to them, they can't believe it. That's why the gospel has never been preached to people. We preach today, most evangelists never preach the gospel. They preach part of the gospel. They preach salvation, and that's it. We're supposed to be preaching healing, casting out demons. How are people going to cast out demons and nobody preaches casting out demons to them? How are they going to preach, you know, these signs following if nobody preaches they're supposed to do it? No, today they preach you don't do that. And see, they're not preaching the full gospel. All they preach is born again. The big thing that made the difference in my Christian walk is I got saved, started off in Kenneth Hagin's ministry and got saved listening to his stuff. And I just thought that all of us were supposed to do these things. It was preached to me, so I believed it. And I refused to believe anybody that told me any different because I saw it in the book. And I found most people don't follow the Bible. They will swear, they'll say, oh, yeah, I believe the Bible is the Word of God, but they don't believe none of it's for today. It don't matter what you believe in the Bible if you don't believe it's for today. Well, who cares what we believe? It doesn't matter. But he told them they would go out and preach. He said, these signs will follow them that believe. The signs are the casting out of demons. They will speak with new tongues. He said, they'll take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not by no means harm them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. You know, we have an account where Paul got bit by a snake. Shook it off, didn't faze him, didn't bother him. It doesn't mean we deliberately go around trying to pick up snakes and he's trying to take them. In other words, he's telling us about things that harm. Things in nature, things you live around that harm people are not supposed to harm us. They're not supposed to harm us. He said, if you drink any deadly thing, in other words, this goes into the things, knowing how to sanctify food and praying over the things. Sometimes people are going to end up drinking thirst, you know, taking things that are actually, you know, people don't know it, but it's tainted. You don't have to die from it. You can live. He said, these are signs. Believers are not supposed to be susceptible to what unbelievers are. The church today, majority are susceptible to everything that the world is susceptible to. We're not supposed to be. We're not supposed to be susceptible to it. That's what these things are written here about. The church is really supposed to be a different group of people. We're not supposed to be. But see, if people haven't been told that, oh, you know, well, you just live in this world and things are just going to happen to you. That's what it is. And so the whole purpose is you're saved. So when you die, when the snake bites you, you go to heaven. See, that's the only difference. You know what? The world could care less. The world needs to see something. Why did the people on Malta believe that Paul was sent from God? It's because a snake bit him and he didn't die. Us croaking ain't no proof to the world that God does anything. Because you know why? They don't see you go to heaven. So they don't know what happened after you died. They ain't got a clue. They need to see something. And so our testimony is these things. So it doesn't say some of these believers drink deadly things and they die. And some don't. Some get bit by snakes and die. And some don't. Some get healed, and some don't. Now, whether we like it or not, basically that's what's preached. You know, God sometimes does, God sometimes don't. That's why people don't have faith. You can't have faith to be healed if you didn't know that God wanted to heal you for it. You can't know that. So he prayed. He said, what would we do? We as people, in other words, he didn't say we would lay hands on the sick and God said I wouldn't heal them. The Lord spoke to me this as a young Christian. He told me, he said, everybody that you lay your hands on for healing, he said, my healing power is there to heal that person if they'll receive it. He said, my power is always, God's power is always present. Man, I got the Holy Ghost in me. It has to be. See, people are waiting for a feeling. I don't have to wait for no feeling. The Holy Ghost is in me. If I lay hands on a person, the power of God is present. It says it right. I lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. But remember what it said. They got to believe. It's present to heal. The power of God is always present if a person will believe. It's always present. I have never laid hands on one person that the power of God wasn't present. Some people get healed, some don't. But I'll tell you, 100%, the power of God's present to heal if they'll receive it. It's there. It's always the will of God to heal. It's always the will of God to heal. Always. I've had anointings on me already for healing. Strong anointings on me. Laid hands on people already. Strong healing anointing. I lay my hands on a person and they won't receive it. They don't get nothing out of it. I've had the Lord tell me, move on. They ain't going to receive nothing. Why? Wasn't the will of God? No. They get in their unbelief. You know, they're there in their unbelief, you know. They have their way of believing. I've heard people, you know, trying to minister to them and they'd say, well, I believe it's this way. I don't really care how you believe it. What did God say? I want to know how God told me to believe it. That's what I want to know. Because if I believe it God's way, I'm guaranteed. Hallelujah. I'm guaranteed. Who cares my opinion? It don't matter. I want the guarantee, you know. My opinion don't matter. It's what God has said. And if you and I will believe what God says, it's just like here in these commissionings. Every time these people were healed, we lay hands on the sick. They will recover. It says, I lay hands on the sick. Those people believe. This is the sign that we follow. If you'll believe what we preach about Jesus, we'll lay hands on you and you'll get healed. And you see that. So, and many times you'll know that's why some people do and some don't. It's because some don't believe it. You know? I remember as a church that I went to as a younger Christian and teaching healing in the church, and I was taught the adult Sunday school class, and I remember teaching in that, and you know, oh my God, they were nothing but full of opinions. Oh, they tell you they believe the Word of God, and they believed, oh yes, we believe the Bible is true. Man, you could over tell them this kind of stuff, they'd get mad at me. They would get offended because they weren't getting healed. Instead of receiving the Word and saying, oh, I can see why I don't get healed, no. I'm spiritual. No, if I'm not getting healed, it must be God's fault. It got to be God's fault. Couldn't be mine. I'm too wonderful, you know. It was nothing but stubbornness on their part. It was nothing but stubbornness. If it ain't working, Ed's got a problem. So Ed's going to have to deal with his problems. That's all there is to it. But this I know. God wants to solve my problem. That I know without a shadow of a doubt. And you know, don't get upset if you missed it. Praise, you know. Glory to God, if you missed it, you're like the rest of it. We miss it at times. There's things I've gone along in the areas of healing. And nothing ever seems to change, and I get over in the areas, and I think, you know, sorry, you know, I know a lot of stuff about healing, but I'll get over, and all of a sudden, I'll see it. You know, I'm not really acting in this one area. I'm not acting faith like I need to. I'll see it. And so, don't ever get over. Just think, you know, that you, oh, I just got it all, and it must be in God's side. No, sometimes we can know what to do, but we mess it up somehow along, or we're not walking in the light of what we need to walk in the light of. I remember Brother Hagin talking about the fact of he got ill. He was supposed to preach that night, but he got really ill. And he was sick, and he said, man, he said, it's the worst I've ever been in my life. He said, I was so sick. He said, I'm laying in the bed, and he's saying, you know, he's laying there in the bed, and the Lord, he had asked the Lord then about what was going on and what was happening. And the Lord said to him, it's happening because you ain't acting in faith. He said, my words, he said, I sat there and he said, embarrass me. He said, you're not acting faith. He said, instead of you believing you received your healing, he said, you're laying there thinking about, oh, should I go to the doctor? Should I do this? Should I do that? He said, you're laying there doing all that stuff. He said, you're not acting like you received it. Kenneth Hagin said, as soon as I got in line, he said the pain started to subside. And he said, I fell off and went to sleep. And he said, when I woke up before time to go to service, he said, I felt absolutely fine. But here he was now surely he knew about healing. He understood it. But, you know, you can get over there and get over in the flesh in an area and get thinking you're in faith and you're not. So I figured if he could do it, Ed might do it sometime too. Get over into there. But get yourself in faith. Always just, you know, ask God about it. But always know this. Always get convinced of the fact God wants you well. God wants you to be healed. Hallelujah. I'm going to stop there this morning. I don't want to go any further than that because of getting into some other areas there. We would just want to stop there this morning. But I just, you know, these things, I'll tell you what, these things excite me because it encourages me, the fact that I know that God's on my side and God's on man's side. He's on our side. He wants the best for us. And you get convinced of that, you'll know. I'll tell you what, you'll learn to face things. You know, it's because of the Word of God. The Word of God will give you boldness and strength. You know, it's like when I talk about the fact when I had a heart attack, that thing, it wasn't because Ed's so great and smart. It's just the Word of God in your heart. I knew for sure it was not God's will that I die or I spend the rest of my life with heart problem. I knew that. I was convinced. I had listened to Kenneth Hagin teach on the subject. I had studied the Word personally myself. I had meditated and confessed scriptures and said things till I was totally convinced that if I died, it was Ed's fault. That's what I believed. I believe it was my fault if I died. I knew it wasn't God's fault. I knew God didn't have Ed have a heart attack for some, you know, glorious purpose. He didn't. And I knew that. I knew that Ed knew how to make a stand, and this was the devil's doing. The devil wanted Ed dead. He's the author of sickness and disease, not God. God's the author of health. So if something comes upon you, always think good of your Heavenly Father. Don't get bad thoughts. You know, what would you think of children if you have children and your children would come to you and say, Mom, Dad, why do you want me to be sick? What would you think? Can you imagine what it is to God when His children go around telling people that God makes them sick and He does it for purpose and all that stuff? Going and telling that kind of father? They'll lock you up in here in the earth. They will put you in jail for not taking care of your kids. And yet, the majority of the churches in America preach that our God is a bad father. It's preached from the pulpit. They tell you to love somebody who kills your kids. They tell you to love somebody. Yet we in our own justice system know that that's unjust. And yet we preach such an ungodly God. It's shameful what we do. I'll tell you what, we got the best daddy in the world. Hallelujah. There ain't a better daddy who has all of your good in his mind and in his thought, not to just think about doing good for you, but is to carry it out in your life to do good for you. Hallelujah. That's his plan for your life, is to do good. It's his plan for you to be well. I tell you, his plan is for America to hook up to his health system so we don't end up throwing all of our money away. That's what he wants. God has a plan to heal America, but America follows the devil and follows men and the best that men can do. We don't turn to God and say, God, our nation's a mess. Everybody's sick. Lord God, help us idiots. No. God, you know, we're so blessed with all these doctors and all these medicine and all this hospital. We're so blessed with it. God, give us more money to keep it running. We could use some deliverance, let me tell you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's close. Father, thank you so much for your kindness and love toward us. I thank you, Lord God, as we look in the Word this morning, Lord God, we can see you're so good. Hallelujah. You love us so much and your desire for us to be well. Thank you, Lord God, for encouraging us today, showing us fully, Lord God, you want us well. You want us whole. You want us sound. Thank you. Thank you, Father God, for revealing these things. Father, we desire that our heart be filled with these thoughts of your goodness and your love and compassion for us in Christ Jesus. Father God, we don't want to have any of those thoughts that you have ill will against us, or your plan and purpose for us is to be sick, or whatever, you know, Lord God in life. Father, that we're totally sold out on the fact that it's your desire for us to be well and sound and whole in Jesus' name. We thank you for that. Thank you, Father God, for giving us direction and understanding in these things in life. Father, help us to be able to teach and instruct others so they can know that how good you are and your plan, Lord God, for mankind. Father, because there's many who have been misguided. And Lord God, there's many misguided people, but they don't even know they've been misguided. They don't know. They have just followed after the voices of men rather than the voice of God. Father, I thank you for helping us to minister the truth to them so they can see it and understand all the goodness that you have planned for them in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.